How should USC handle a student group that other students say promotes hate speech? This is General Education, a Daily Trojan podcast for USC News. I'm the host and podcast editor, Sean Flannelly, and this week we'll be talking again about a far-right conservative speaker on campus and the controversy surrounding him.
Thank you to YAF, as always, for hosting. Thank you to the Logan family for sponsoring this fall speaking tour. Very, very controversial. Men are not women and other uncomfortable truths. And I would like to thank USC for inviting me as well.
Nearly 30 students silently walked out of an event last Thursday featuring Michael Knowles, a conservative commentator and author. The talk was hosted by conservative student group Young Americans for Freedom, which also hosted a controversial talk from Ben Shapiro last year. Joining me now are reporters who covered the event for Daily Trojan, news editor Andrea Click. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Sean.
And assistant managing editor Natalie Bettendorf. Hey, Natalie.
Hi, it's good to be back.
Okay, so about 30 students left the protest. Could you talk to me about who these students were and what prompted them to leave?
So basically, the 30 students were kind of organized by TAP, which is the Trojan Advocates for Political Progress. Basically, some of the TAP leaders had told me that they were researching who YAF was bringing in as speakers. They found out about Michael Knowles coming in, saw online some of his past kind of transphobic, hateful comments towards certain groups, and they decided eventually that they wanted to have some kind of a protest of the event, and then also contacted other organizations like the Latino Student Assembly, the Black Student Assembly, I think the Native American Student Union, and QASA, which is the, I think, the Queer and Ally Student Assembly.
And these students that left, how long did they stay for, and what was the message that they left behind?
So they basically came in at the beginning of the event, and then I would say about 5 minutes in, it was after the YAF president, Maxwell Brandon, gave kind of the opening remarks, and then Michael Knowles came up, started to speak. He was telling some jokes about climate change. He's a climate denier. And then they silently walked out and left the room and then gathered like on the steps of Doheny, and basically they were saying kind of like that it was a space to debrief after what had happened, if anybody felt triggered or hurt by things that he had said or even just Michael Knowles' presence on campus in general and seeing his supporters all in the room, because there were probably at least 100 people, and people filed in after the 30 left as well.
Wow, so people filed in even after they left the seats into their now empty seats?
Yeah, actually kind of how it was situated is Andrea and I got there a few minutes before 7 when the talk was initially supposed to start, and we found some seats that were more towards the back, but we were blown away by how many people showed up. I mean, definitely it seemed that there were close to 100 people at the 6:45 time that we got there, and by 7, I mean, there were people lining up in the back. It was hard to tell who was with the demonstration group who stood up and left. But really how it worked out is that Andrea and I are so grateful that two of us ended up going. She was initially supposed to go and cover this event, but it actually was really crucial that there were two of us there, because once the demonstrators stood up and left, she had to run out after them and follow them to get their quotes and to ask what was going on. And she ended up being there for the majority of the talk outside on the steps of Doheny's talking to them, while I stayed inside and actually recorded Michael Knowles' talk and just got people who were there in the audience as well. I was able to tell kind of who was with YAF and who wasn't, just as an audience member. So it was actually very necessary to have us two reporters, because otherwise I don't know how we would have been able to get that coverage of both of those sides.
So then, Andrea, what was the reaction of the protesters as they were standing on the steps outside? Like, what was the general atmosphere there?
I would say it was, at least the leaders there were trying to be more calm and just, they were glad that everything went off very peacefully, that they were able to walk out. There was no, like, real yelling or anything from either side. Nothing happened on their way out that prompted any kind of violence or action or anything along those lines. And then just from talking to people after, it was really just this feeling of, I guess, disgust that this speaker had been brought in, something that they had been feeling even when they found out the announcement that Michael Knowles would be coming. And just, I know now TAP also has put a statement out that they want YAF to be unrecognized as a registered student organization because they basically feel that it's a policy of RSOs that there won't be discrimination in members, elections, things like that. And they feel like bringing in speakers like Michael Knowles, like Ben Shapiro, kind of foster a hateful environment, and that that is not conducive to a safe college campus, especially for those communities he was insulting, like the queer community and other minority groups.
And RSOs are registered student organizations, right?
Yes.
So then I guess, Natalie, you would probably be the best person to ask this. Andrea talked a little bit about some of the disgust that protesters were feeling. Could you talk about why they might have felt that way? Like, what kind of things were Michael Knowles saying that that might have been controversial?
So right after the demonstrators left, Michael Knowles made a comment that that he was glad that those people were gone, and he made some kind of derogatory comment.
People who don't want to listen to a thing, who don't want to look at grace, who don't want to live in a culture that takes each other seriously, but a culture that merely wants to rip people down for no reason. Now, the one positive thing about that culture is the minute that all the schmucks leave,
but once those people were gone, there was a lot of cheering. There was a lot of cheering from the audience members who were there in support of Knowles, who were there to hear him speak and agreed with a lot of his views. And so many of those views, like Andrea was mentioning, of what made TAP and the other organizations so angry had to do with Knowles's opinions and statements on transgender people as well as women. And really, the title of the talk is Men Are Not Women and Other Uncomfortable Truths, which is a controversial statement within an uncontroversial statement, if that makes sense. So that's, I think, a really good way to sum up the talk, and the content of it was these paradoxes that Knowles was really addressing and saying, you know, making these obvious statements and saying, you know, climate change is going to kill us all in 7 years. You know, can you believe that liberals think that?
Because we are running out of time. You might think that I am talking about climate change. We're all going to die in 10 years anyway, so I guess we're running out of time.
And there would be cheers from the audience, a lot of really rowdy people kind of coming out and saying, you know, like, what I believe and these are my values. So I think that the environment within the room was definitely more on the rowdier side, especially when the demonstrators left. But overall, I would say that it was pretty respectful and well, and Knowles was very well received from the audience members who had chosen to be there and wanted to be there. Particularly, there was the 10 minutes at the end that were left for questions, and many people who were students who came up to the microphone who said, you know, Michael, I am a college student here, and I definitely am more conservative, and I don't feel like I have a place in my classroom. I don't feel like I have a voice here. What do you recommend? How do you advise me to continue on into places like Hollywood? There was, you know, people who were wanted to go into film, people who wanted to go into academia, and they say, you know, I don't feel like I can get good grades on my papers with my values and my beliefs that are leaning to the right or are very, very right. From that range, it was interesting to hear these people come forward and say that they feel that they have been marginalized, when these other groups are saying that they feel marginalized by Knowles and his foundation and these people who are there in support of him. So it was really these differing sides that were battling each other, saying that they are being marginalized. And I think that's really where this conversation gets so tense.
In college, and obviously on college campuses, we're seeing the rise of bias on the left side particularly. So obviously when grading papers, professors are gonna be more critical to conservative students like me. So I was gonna ask how you combat that leftism, that brainwash, and you speak up, because as a person who wants to go into law school, it's important to get good grades. And when teachers are marking you down for things that shouldn't even be graded, like political opinions, how do you combat that? How do you deal with that? And how do you speak up?
Yeah, and along with that, like, It feels like whenever we start to have these conversations, we always end up talking about free speech. And how do these two different sides, the protesters who walked out and YAF and its supporters, feel about the issue of free speech and how it relates to Michael Knowles?
I think it's definitely an important question, and it's something that we discussed really here on General Education when we talked to YAF about bringing Ben Shapiro to campus, and that idea of having people come to protest the Ben Shapiro event and thinking about how we're going to report on this and know that there's going to be really opposing sides and it being really controversial, kind of thinking about, well, what does it mean to have people express their different opinions and express their political beliefs of reserving tickets just so they can walk out and make a statement? And, you know, YAF was saying that it didn't seem fair, or, you know, they wanted to prevent people who didn't want to be there actually at the event or were protesting it from getting these tickets. And I was like asking him how that plays into their really strong value of free speech. And I think it's something that none of us really know the answer to. And I think that contention is really what is kind of throwing this divide and making it so deep in this campus's foundation too, of just what does it mean to find that common ground. And I don't think that it was found, and I think that it was driven even deeper with this event.
Mm-hmm. And then also with that, just from talking to some of the people, I talked to the QASA director and actually asked him that same question of what he would argue when the other side is bringing up this argument of free speech. And he was saying for him and so many people outside there that hate speech to them is not encompassed within free speech. And if anything is discriminatory, then that really shouldn't be counted as free speech and shouldn't be allowed on a campus that's supposed to be a safe space. And they were really kind of calling USC out for basically saying it was hypocritical that they talk a lot about a diverse community and a diverse campus and then allow somebody to come onto campus who openly talks so poorly of women, the transgender community, so many other communities. And then at the same time, the person in charge of YAF, Maxwell Brandon, had told me that he was more so disappointed that they walked out and was basically like, I would rather see the members of TAP stay and stand up for the question period and listen to everything and then challenge whatever they think is wrong about it rather than just getting up and leaving. And he didn't like, obviously, that they were calling YAF a discriminatory organization and was saying that, like, it's the same thing as saying if he walked into College Democrats and didn't like what they were saying, that he would call it discrimination. And that's his view on that.
And I do want to briefly mention that part of TAP's complaint and the other student organization's complaint had to do with security and the fact that protecting these events does cost a lot of money. Same thing with the Ben Shapiro event last year. So is that something, or where does that factor into all of this?
Maxwell Brandon was saying basically TAP kind of got that wrong in their statement. I guess what had happened with the Ben Shapiro event was that USG ended up paying, I think, about $4,000 for security fees for that event. But then for Michael Knowles' event on campus, Maxwell Brandon was saying YAF funded the entire fees for the event, including the security. But even so, this was an event that was promoted even on USC's like event calendar page. So it was
okay,
an official listed USC event. It wasn't just like on YAF's Facebook page or something like that.
Yeah. And then lastly, I just wanted to cover that Michael Knowles has made headlines not just because of this event, but also or because of his speaking at colleges and with YAF events, but also because he made some controversial comments on Fox News about Greta Thunberg. Could you just talk about what he said and how it came up in the event last week?
So Knowles was speaking on Fox on Monday, and 16-year-old Greta Thunberg is a climate activist, and she spoke to the United Nations on the risks posed by climate change. So on Fox, Knowles had said, "The climate hysteria movement isn't about science. If it were about science, it would be led by scientists rather than by politicians and a mentally ill Swedish child who's being exploited by her parents and by the international left." And this was a very bold claim that Fox actually had to come on later and apologize for. In general, it was something that Knowles was not regretful on. He said that Fox can handle his comments or whatever he says however they want. They are in charge of, you know, what they have on their show and the media outlets, but it sounds like he very strongly stands by what he said and the very controversial statement that came out of his mouth.
I don't speak for Fox News, as I think became abundantly clear this week. Fox News has to run their own news organization. I don't speak for them. Obviously, there is nothing shameful about living with autism or any other psychiatric condition, as I think was quite clear. What is shameful is exploiting children for political purposes. What is especially shameful is exploiting children who are made especially vulnerable because of, for instance, a well-publicized history of psychiatric conditions for political purposes. That is especially shameful. It is despicable. It is evil.
Okay, well, I imagine that this isn't the last time that we'll be talking about a speaker that YAF has on campus, but thank you so much for joining me this time. Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you, Sean.
And thanks, Andrea.
Thank you, guys.
That's it for this week on General Education. You can read Natalie and Andrea's article online at dailytrojan.com. Like and subscribe to hear more USC news every Wednesday, and don't forget to listen to our arts and entertainment podcast, Rhythm and News, or our sports podcast, Talkin' Troy. Those release every other Friday. General Education is produced by me, Sean Flannelly, along with Natalie Bettendorf, Eileen Toe, Kate Sequeira, and Tomas Mier.